All right. Well, good evening. And good to see y'all here this evening in the sanctuary. And anybody that's online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise." We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy. Amen.
Just a song that my heart sings. than to give myself. This is my offering. I give you everything I am, surrendering my life into your hands. No greater sacrifice that I could bring than to give myself. This is my offering. Than to give myself, this is my offering.
Amen. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day it soothes my doubt and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one small step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pick a hymn. Yes. Anybody got a song they want to sing? 506. All right. That's great. Yeah, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Can you hum the first one? I'm still trying to get it in my head. Rather. Ah, yes, thank you, thank you. That's great. After singing that previous one, it's like, it sounds so similar. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. That was good. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Amen. Whoo! All right. As we announced this morning, this is the last Sunday where we're mandatory masking. And so after today, we strongly encourage you to wear a mask, but you do as you feel led to do. And hopefully it all works out for everybody. Amen? Now, do y'all have any... Did anybody look that Luciferi stuff up that I was talking to you about on Wednesday night? Anybody? That the conspiracy with the Luciferase and the vaccine? Nobody looked that up? Am I the only one? It's okay. You can look it up. One of the reasons why your eschatology is so vitally important is when those kind of conspiracies come across. I mean, just think about it. You don't know your eschatology, and you've received the vaccine, and you, for whatever reason, buy into this conspiracy theory. You think you're lost, and you're not lost. You think you've taken the mark of the beast, and you haven't taken the mark of the beast. It's crazy. That's why you have to know your Bible. Amen? Because you can stand in love, or you can type in love, or you can text in love and let these folks know that dog don't hunt. We're not in the middle of the tribulation, right? Nobody's forcing us or cajoling us or threatening us to worship an Antichrist. Are they? No. So quit spreading those lies and rumors, right? It's destructive. And for some people, it's deadly. It's deadly. Think about it. Somebody with comorbidities that needs a vaccine and buys into conspiracy theory and then thus does not take the vaccine and then gets exposed all over, right? And you can't cross sovereignty of God on that. Don't cross sovereignty of God. We'll get to that verse we shared last Wednesday night, right? Amen, Brother Ron? That's right, okay. Well, let's get her going here tonight. What kind of praises do we have? Good to see y'all. Amen, good to see y'all out there tonight. What kind of praises do we have? Amen, we're here. What else? Yes, sir, Bobby? Addison. All right. Addison Hope in Sunday school. First time in 2 years. All right, all right. I saw some other hands going up, John. Yeah. Ron and Alita. Yeah. Miss McNew. Very good, very good. Over here to the left, praise. Oh, my. He checked out good. Was the person on their phone that hit him? Yeah. Sorry. Oh, yeah. 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 Right, right. Amen. Amen. So the lady that Robert hit, is she okay? So that individual's going pretty fast to hit him. Oh, my goodness. That sucker's totaled. Yeah, totaled. Oh, yeah. What year was it? Oh, yeah, that dude's gone. Ain't he gone, Bobby? That's gone. All right. How many miles you have on it? Gone. Out. You're gonna get your check on that one. Well, hey, man, Toyotas are good running cars. Miss Bicky knows. Yeah. And is okay. Praise the Lord for that. All right, all right. Saw another hand over here somewhere. Anybody else with a hand for a praise? All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Boy, that is a mystery too. You know it? That brother's still running a fever, and he's 6.5, 7 weeks in now, and clear of the virus, tested negative for the virus. So, all right, Johnny Hyman, got you covered, man. That's good praise. Anything else? Praises. All right. Yes, ma'am. No. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And how long was she in the hospital? Okay. All right. Healing from COVID, man. Praise the Lord. That's good, 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 good. All right. Encouraging words, passages of Scripture, anything? Yes, sir, Brother Ron. Yeah. Amen. Amen, man. Mustard seed faith. God can do a lot with a little. If we just believe. Amen. Just believe a little. Amen. What else? Good word. Okay. Amen. 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 10:13. Praise the Lord for, we had some visitors with us today, so praise the Lord for that. Always good to have visitors. All right. Anything else? Other passages? Yes, sir, Ron. Don't ever get what I deserve. Amen, man. Yeah, that's a good word, right? Yeah. Yep. Amen. Amen and amen to that. What else? Proverbs 35. What chapter? 30. Verse 5. Yeah, that's a good word. Good, good, good. Amen, amen. Anything else? 34:8. Amen, brother. Amen. All right, you loadeth my wagon. Prayer requests. Yes, sir, Ron. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Okay. Riley. ER visit. Swelling up. All right, we'll pray for little Riley. Amen. What else? Yes, ma'am. How many days in are you, Brother Paul? 4 days? Feeling okay? Paul, chemo? No adverse effects. Praise God. Amen, amen, man. All right. Yes, sir, Brother Ryan. Okay. That second hit. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Let's pray for Brother James tonight. Mom, Jeanette, broke that other hip. And then his son, Kevin. Pancreatitis. Okay, amen. Very good. What else? What else? Yes, sir. Amen. Uh-huh. Right. Amen, man. Amen. Amen. Very good. Miss Alita, do you have a hand up for a request? Yes, ma'am. From COVID, and what's the family's name? Joey Cepeda. Really? Oh, man. I mean, just when we think we're kind of getting on down the road out of it, it ain't going away yet, has it? It's slowing down, and we're coming off the surge high, but it's still out there. I want to pray for the state of Wyoming. I want to pray for the state of Idaho. I want to pray for you. Like those people in Wyoming, don't you? They're good people, man. People up in Idaho. I want to pray for Alaska. What we were dealing with a month ago, 6 weeks ago, ERs full, can't find a bed. They're getting hammered from the COVID surge. It's kind of, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's kind of trending down in the country, but there's still hot spots in Idaho, Wyoming, and Alaska. Saw a piece on Idaho, and it's one hospital they were talking to. Half of the staff had quit because of burnout. And those poor people that were left were working 10-day straight, 12-hour shifts. 10 on, 1 off. And so you can imagine, right, Terry? That's you could just, you know, they're masked up, but you could see it in their eyes. They were screaming. What were they saying with their eyes? Help. And help, right? All right, so let's pray for those three states as we think about what's going on. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, sir. What's the specific prayer need? Oh. And how old is he now? Five. Okay. Unspoken. All right, and then we had another one over here. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Ho. Yeah. Yeah. Social media, man. Yeah. Right. Amen, man. I'm praying. This Facebook, and they own the Instagram. Is that it? They own the Instagram. Is that right? Snapchat, they own all that. And those things for these young people are tools of the devil, man. Tools of the devil. I sound like a fundamental independent, don't I? They are tools of the devil. TikTok. And, you know, when you can get Republicans and Democrats to agree that something is bad, buddy, it's bad. I mean, when you get them two groups to come together and say it's bad, it's bad, right? And so, there are probably going to be some regulations, and there are going to be some people squealing about the regulations, but it's got to stop somewhere with these kids. Do you remember when you were growing up, somebody would bully you? Well, at least the bullying would stop when you got to your front door and went in your house. That's no more. They get bullied all the way up until the time they go to bed. When they get up and check that phone, they're being bullied some more, right? And what kid's going to put down that high-powered laptop they hang on, they put in their purse or put... It's crazy. All right, that's another sermon. Anything else? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were talking in the Sunday school teachers meeting, we haven't heard of any mosquito bites or bug bites or snake bites or, this one of the greatest miracles we've heard in the last several years, or somebody cobbled that little boy up and got cold feet and dumped him somewhere. And I guess we won't find out until further on down the road. But all they were talking about how he's just a little dehydrated. But he had, the reports I heard, he didn't have anything, no exposure marks on him. I'm telling you what, you put my 50-something-year-old self out in the woods for 4 days, I'm going to look pretty rough. I'm going to look pretty rough, man. Hadn't had a shower and no shave and no food. It's going to be pretty rough. You're going to do more Take Me to Texas Children. Yeah, no toilet paper out there. It's going to be pretty rough. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? Pardon me. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for those that you have assembled here this evening, your church. And Lord, we're thankful that we can come together and share our hearts and share our burdens and share our praises and share Bible with one another, Lord, and just sharpen one another up and encourage each other up. And Lord, as we come to you tonight, we just give you these praises. We lay these things at your feet. We just shout hallelujah for them. Lord, we're thankful for little Addison Hope and back in Sunday school, Lord, after almost 2 years. It's incredible. What a miracle that is, a miracle of healing, a miracle of your grace. And Lord, we're thankful for that. Ronnie and Alita, Lord, and Miss McNew, that Miss McNew connection and having her in Sunday school and church today, we praise you for that. And then, Lord, we're thankful that Robert, even going through the wreck, he's okay. Lord, we give you praise and glory for that. That could have gone a whole lot worse and a whole lot different. So, Lord, we realize that, and we know that you're our protector and you're our provider. Lord, we lift up Johnny Hyman to you tonight. We're thankful that, Lord, there was a smile on his face. And Lord, he's trying to mouth words to his wife. And Lord, we can only imagine what those words are. But Lord, we're thankful that Johnny's doing some better. And then Miss Van Dyke, Lord, her healing from COVID and not having to be intubated. We praise you and thank you for that. And Lord, we're thankful for the verses that were shared this evening, Lord, and how they feed us and how the Word washes us and how the Word convicts us and encourages us all at the same time. And we're thankful for that. And Lord, as we think about our prayer request tonight, we lift up little Riley to you. Lord, we pray that this situation of swelling and sounds like a little anaphylactic shock going on. Lord, we're praying that he doesn't have any more episodes or incidents of that. And Lord, whatever caused this swelling, we pray that they're able to find that out and discern that as well. But Lord, we pray you be with Jackie and Lord, watch over her as she cares for little Riley. Lord, we pray for Paul on the chemo. We're thankful that he's not had any adverse effects thus far. We pray that his body would receive the chemo, and Lord, it would do its job on any and all cancer that might be lingering around in there in his body. And Lord, this will be a good stopgap, a good safe measure, Lord, just some extra help keeping him cancer-free. Lord, we lift up Brother James to you tonight, and Lord, we pray for his mom's healing as she's healing from this broken hip from another fall. We're praying for Kevin tonight, Lord, and his pancreatitis. We pray that, Lord, you would give him the strength, and you would give James and Kathy the strength to help him make some lifestyle changes. And that God, we pray, would not go back to that bottle. He would not go back to that booze. Lord, he would not hit that beer anymore. Lord, he's got two kids to live for and a wife to live for. And Lord, we just pray you intervene in Kevin's life and touch him and give him a turnaround, God. But Lord, we pray for James in a special way with everything on his plate, his mom, his son, everything going on right now associated with his household. Lord, we're praying for the Cepeda family and the passing of Joey. Lord, we're thankful for his life, and we're thankful for those that he touched. And Lord, we just pray that you comfort that family now as they deal with the loss of life. And Lord, help them through. Give them the grace that they need to get through. And Lord, we're praying that there would be testimonies of your word and testimonies of Jesus in the midst of all this and testimonies of what it means to be saved. And Lord, in the midst of this loss of life, we pray that there would be seeds of salvation sown. Lord, no matter what the religion is, Lord, we pray that those Christians that are in the midst of that funeral service, Lord, that they would speak a bold word and give a good testimony of who Jesus is and what he can do for us. Lord, we're thankful that you save us. Lord, we're thankful that you call us, that you convict us of our sin. And Lord, you show us the way, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we're thankful for that tonight. Lord, as we think about our nation, as we think about still dealing with the COVID pandemic, Lord, we pray for these states that we mentioned. And there are other states, Lord, but these are just fresh on my heart, Wyoming, Idaho, Alaska. I pray specifically for these healthcare workers. They are in the fire of it all, as this Houston area was some 4-6 weeks ago. Lord, we're praying for them. We're praying for those that are continually coming in, sick with the COVID. Many to most are not vaccinated. Lord, we just pray that you would give those healthcare workers the patience. You would give them the strength. You would give them the want to. You would give them whatever they need, Lord, to make it through those horrendous shifts. Be with those physicians, Lord, all the way down to the people that clean those rooms and get them ready for the next round of patients. Be with those hospitals, Lord. Be with those health care systems. And, Lord, we pray that you would bring healing to those folks that come down with the COVID. We pray there'd be minimal loss of life and that, God, there would be miracles of healing in all of those states that we're lifting up tonight. We continue to pray for little Ezra, Lord, as he struggles with birth defects and not growing and not heading in the direction he needs to. Lord, we pray you touch that little body and that, God, you would help him catch up, help his organs catch up, and, Lord, all his body systems catch up. And, Lord, we just pray that there'd be a testimony that we hear in the coming months of how Ezra is closer and closer to where he needs to be, Lord. But we continue to keep him before you tonight. Lord, we do pray for the youth program here. We pray for the children's program here. We pray for the Awanas program here. And, Lord, we pray that you might just bless it, that you might bless the efforts of these volunteers, Lord, that you might anoint their love for these kids. And, Lord, you draw some kids and some families here. And, Lord, we'd be able to share Christ with them and see some children saved and see some youth saved and see some families change, Lord, and see some families become part of the church See some families become part of other churches as they get touched here and perhaps don't join here but join other places. But Lord, we pray that you would just revisit us in that area, rebuild us in that area, and Lord, we would be honored and blessed to give you the praise and the glory for what you do and what you want to do and how you're going to do it. But Lord, we love you tonight. We praise you tonight. Before we close, Lord, we lift up the unspokens to you. And Lord, we're thankful that you hear us, that we can bring them to you again. And Lord, thank you that you are the great God that answers prayer. You're the great God that hears us. You're the great God that helps us. We thank you for all your love, your grace, and your mercy tonight. Thank you for your word. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right, well, let's take our copy of God's word. We're in Revelation back again. So we're back on down the road with this, Revelation chapter 14. I invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We'll get you up one last time before we're through tonight. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God reads this. All right, you found it? Amen. 14, those of you watching with us online, good to have you with us. Did we have any prayer needs come across from our online folks? Okay. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 12, the Word of God reads, "Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." Lord, we do thank you for the reading of your word. May you add your tremendous blessing to it. And Lord, may our hearts be open to what you would have us to receive tonight. It's in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing. So, the question we asked on Wednesday night, do you have a part in the perseverance of the saints? And hopefully each and every person that has come back here on a Sunday night would be able to say emphatically, yes, Pastor, I do have a part in the perseverance of the saints. That's one group you want to be a part of. Amen? You want to be a part of the saints, right? Now, on Wednesday evening, we introduced our passage here in Revelation chapter 14. And you'll remember that we went through a lot of different verses. We reviewed the great truth of what real, genuine happiness is all about. Do you remember that? You remember how we defined that? We defined that in the Bible. We asked the question, does the Bible even speak to what happiness is? Well, of course, the Bible does, but the Bible uses, we said, a different and better word for this elusive. We talked about how, you know, in our culture, everybody's pitching us happiness, and it always has to do with some kind of service or some kind of good. If you'll have this service or if you'll have this good, this will make you happy. We talked about how there's a real happiness. There's a genuine happiness, and that word that the Bible uses is what? Does anybody remember? Joy, that's part of it. There was a specific word out of a Greek word. Starts with a B, ends with a D. Remember, blessed. Amen? Blessed. Blessed in the Bible is derived from that New Testament word, makarios. And it refers to spiritual joy. And it refers to bliss. And it refers to fulfillment. And it refers to being satisfied or satisfaction. We said the word blessed describes an inner joy that is the fulfillment of every longing, a serene, untouchable, unassailable contentment and peace. So after a lengthy review of what the Bible says about blessedness, we ended how our passage in 14:13 and 22:14 does what? We ended with how those two verses pronounces a blessing on the dead. We said such a thought for most of our peers, for most of the folks that we know, which includes the lost, which includes the unsaved. We said that for most folks that we know outside of the church, outside of Christianity, that such a thought is incomprehensible. We said as we ended that most people view death as something to be avoided. And we said many people we know and who we come in contact with on a daily basis would say the opposite of what our Bible says. They would say, blessed are the living. And that would really seem a more appropriate motto for most people. Then I gave you that passage, and I'm going to give it to you again, that represents man's free will in the midst of God's sovereignty when it comes to the total days of our lives. You believe in God's sovereignty, right? You believe your days are numbered, right? You believe it's appointed unto man to die and then the judgment. Yeah, that's legit. But there's also free will. Now, where sovereignty ends and free will begins, where free will ends and sovereignty takes over, that would be a mystery. That's way above my pay grade. I can't give you the definitive on that. But I can give you a passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes 7:17. It says, do not be excessively wicked, right? Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool, Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why should you die before your time? Why should you die before your time, right? Well, as we think about our two verses here this evening, the obvious question that the text provokes, that the text begs, is why are these dead? Why are the dead so blessed? Well, the passage this evening answers the question. They are blessed because of how they lived. Blessed because of how they lived. Look at verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. I cannot believe it. I thought I had the phone on do not disturb. Apparently I did not. But I've got a phone and I just hit a button and it goes away. Amen? All right? They are blessed because of how they live. The phrase, the perseverance of the saints, introduces one of the most important and most comforting doctrines in Scripture. This phrase expresses the truth that all those whom God has elected, all those that God has called, all those that have answered the call with their free will, answered the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, all those that have agreed with God that they are sinners and have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, thus all those that are justified by Him, all those will never lose their faith. They will never lose their faith, but they will persevere in their faith until death. And friend, what happens when we die? We're in the presence of who? The Lord. That's right. And so what we've been hoping for and what we've been believing in, we finally get to experience in an otherworldly way than what we experience it here. Amen and amen? The reality, that reality, or it should, that reality should provide assurance for us. That reality should provide some hope for us. That reality that we persevere should give us some joy. For every believer in Jesus, I mean, we should be assured. We should have the hope. We should be joyful. And that ought to bring, I mean, think about it. When you understand the doctrine of it, that ought to bring an end to any kind of fear and doubt in us when we understand this doctrine. This phrase also reveals that believers' deaths, when we die in Christ, they are blessed deaths because death ushers them into the glories of heaven, into the very presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, what is the typical name? What is the typical name we most often refer to this truth, this doctrine? Think about it with me. You know the typical name. It is the doctrine of eternal what? Eternal security. That is correct, eternal security. We say in more of an everyday talk, we say in more of a layman's terminology, we talk about being once saved, always saved. That's what we do. Now, while those definitions are accurate, while those definitions are good, they do not express this truth as clearly as the biblical phrase, the perseverance of the saints. Now, that statement, perseverance of the saints, that statement emphasizes the reality that God keeps His own saints by sustaining their faith to the very end, no matter what occurs. True saving faith in its very nature is eternal, friend. It is eternal and cannot be lost, cannot be destroyed because of the object that the faith is placed on, the object of God, the object of Jesus, the object of the gospel. Because of that, it is eternal. It cannot be lost or destroyed. The persevering character of saving faith is never more clearly and powerfully seen than in this passage. And so the question, well, what do you mean by that statement? What do you mean by that declaration, preacher? What's going on here? Well, think about it. No group of believers, we're talking about tribulation saints here, people that have gotten saved during the tribulation, no group of believers ever has faced or ever will face stronger assaults on their faith than these tribulation saints. Now, this large group of believers that we're introduced to in chapter 7, verse 9, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, will include both Gentiles per 7, verse 9, and Jews per chapter 12, verse 17. They will be saved through the ministries, again, you've heard this, I'll say it again, they will be saved through the ministries of, remember those two witnesses. The two witnesses are going to preach with power and unction and anointing and miracles. And I mean people, not everybody, but there's going to be some. There's going to be a good group from every tribe and nation that receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Chapter 11, verses 3 through 13. And remember the ministry of the 144,000 as we looked at chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, and again in chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. The tribulation believers will endure the most intense persecution in human history. Now, do you remember what Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 recorded Jesus saying about this time? Jesus describes this last half of the tribulation as a great tribulation. Matthew 24, 21 reads, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." And I will tell you this, we're not in it. We are not in it. The conditions of the great tribulation are going to be so bad that Matthew 24, 22 says, "Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." God will set a limit because of His grace. Because of His mercy, He will set a limit on the tribulation so that the saved will not suffer more than they can bear, which brings to mind, it brings to mind, doesn't it? There is no stronger evidence that saving faith perseveres than the reality that the most tested believers in history will maintain their faith. They will maintain their saving faith until the very end, friend. I mean, you know, you might have some persecution in your life today. You might have some persecution in your marriage today. You might have some persecution at the workplace today. You might have some persecution at the schoolhouse. But friend, the persecution that you go through, the persecution that you have to endure, the things that come against you will not be anything like what's coming for these folks. And they will stick with it to the end, which encourages us, doesn't it? Man, if they can stick through what we've read in here, if they can stick with God through what we're going to get into, these last judgments before Jesus comes, if the Bible says they stick with it, I can stick with it here. I can stick with it here. Now remember, we've been in this chapter 14. Remember where we've been. In this chapter 14, in that verses 9 through 11, paints a terrifying picture of the damnation of the unrepentant worshipers of the Antichrist. Then we have this encouraging message of verses 12 and 13, which forms kind of a brief rest in the revelation of God's judgment against unbelievers. But But his judgment's about to kick back up. As we continue on in this chapter, God's judgment resumes in verse 14 and continues through the rest of the chapter. Now, in the midst of all that carnage, with unprecedented disasters taking place all around them, the tribulation saints will remain faithful and loyal to Christ. Even the prospect of being martyred, being killed, dying for their faith will not persuade them to abandon their faith. And you know where I'm going with this, don't you? We'll get our feelings hurt and we'll abandon our faith. We'll lose something financial and we'll abandon our faith. Something will happen in our marriage and we'll abandon our faith. Something will happen with a kid, and we'll abandon our faith. Friend, if we have real faith, if it's genuine, it may be small. It will not what? We will not abandon it. We will not abandon it, right? Now, certainly, some of those instances are terrible things I've just mentioned, can be terrible things. And some of those instances, some of those people make rash decisions that they repent and come back from. Sometimes people get off and are backslid. Sometimes people get off and are prodigals, right? And it's time to what? For the prodigals, it's time to what? Come on back. Come on home. Amen? The whole point of discovering you're a prodigal is to come back to the Father, right? There's no point of being a prodigal and knowing you're a prodigal and realizing you're prodigal and staying out away from the fold and away from the Father. It's time to come on back home. Amen? Now, their persevering loyalty to Jesus Christ forms the bright spot in the darkness of the tribulation. Their persevering loyalty also answers the question of the unbelieving world. The unbelieving world. Revelation 6:17 says, "For the great day of their wrath has come. For the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Who is able to stand? Revelation 6:17 says, "Well, the tribulation believers will stand firm until the end." They are able to stand. And I'm telling you, if you're saved tonight, blood-bought tonight, listen to me online, if you've got Jesus tonight, you can stand until the end. Amen? And so the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints rests on four proofs in the Word of God. Now, we can't look these up. It'll take forever and a day. But I'll give you these references, and you can Bible study through this during your own quiet time. The doctrine of the perseverance of the saints rests on four proofs in the Word of God. The first proof is that God promised this perseverance. One thing I have found in reading and studying the Bible and looking back in history and looking forward and resting with it and loving God's Word and believing God. One thing I found, God keeps His what? He keeps His promises. He keeps His Word. The first proof is that God promised this perseverance. David states the promise in Psalm 37, 23 through 34. We just got to look that one up. Sorry. That's a good one. Amen. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I won't keep you all night, I promise. Psalm 37. 23 and 24. Right? Psalm 37. Did you get there? 23 and 24. "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand." David states the promise. Isaiah talks about the promise in several passages, 43, 1 through 7, 45, 17, Isaiah 49, 14 through 16, 51 through 6. I'll review these when we get back together on Wednesday night. God also promises in the New Testament that salvation is eternal. Now, you guys have been studying 1 John and the you know, the gospel writer John, he talks about the eternality of salvation in John 3:16, right? And he talks about it again in John 3:36. And he talks about it again in John 5:24. And you've probably studied this verse, 1 John 2:25. He talks about it over and over again. A first proof is that God promised this perseverance. A second proof is that God's purpose ensures this perseverance, His very purpose. John chapter 6, 37 through 40. John 6, verse 44. All who come to saving faith in Jesus will be part of the resurrection of life per John 5:29. Let's look at that one real quick. John 5, we can't look at all of them, but we can look at John 5:29. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 5, John 4, John 5. What did I say? 5:29, that's what I said. 5:29, 29, 29. 5:29. Everybody there? And will come forth those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I want the resurrection of life. How about you? Amen? I don't want the resurrection of judgment. I'll take the resurrection of life. The bottom line is none will be lost. We know that passage in Romans 8, 28 through 30, nothing can take us out of the hand of God. What's the point? The point is this. There are no breaks in the process of salvation. You're not saved here for a while, and then it breaks, and then you got to get saved again to get back in the process. There are no breaks in the process of salvation. Philippians 1, 6, 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9, Romans chapter 11, 29. We'll take Philippians on that one. Philippians 1, 6. Can't look them all up, but we can look a few of them up. Galatians, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians. What did I say? Philippians 1? Was it 1, 6? For I'm confident of this very thing that he who, you know this verse, that he who began a good work in you will what? Will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Philippians 1, 6, that's a good verse. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9, Romans 11, 29. A third proof is that God's power guarantees this perseverance. God's power that transforms believers into new creations, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, all right? Amen? You know that verse. Will sustain them so that they can never be lost. To say that you can be lost says something's wrong with God's power. Nothing's wrong with God's power. Amen? God's power is perfect power. Amen? In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, Jesus stated emphatically that God's power keeps believers secure. Oh, let's go back to John then, all right? John chapter 10. John 10. Are you with me? 27, 27. Oh, that's that my sheep. That's that my sheep passage. My sheep hear my voice, 10:27, John. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Amen and amen? God's power, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. The 24th verse of Jude, talking about God's power. And then finally tonight, a fourth proof, and we'll close with this. A fourth proof is because salvation is wholly, completely by God's grace. Right? By God's grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know the passage, right? Well, let's look it up right quick. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? You know that one, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Amen? Since we did nothing to earn salvation, since we did nothing to earn it, we didn't earn our salvation. Jesus provided our salvation, right? You didn't earn it. I didn't earn it. Nobody earns it. Jesus provides it by His grace. Since we did not earn salvation, we can't do anything to keep our salvation. His grace keeps our salvation. Amen? Now, am I going to live a life that is acclimated to His grace? Yeah, I'm saved. Am I going to live a life that seeks to be holy after my Father's will? Yeah. Amen. But I'm not living that life to earn my salvation. If I stumble and fall, which I will, I don't then lose my salvation, right? It's not based on me. The salvation is based on His grace. Amen? That ought to comfort you tonight. Amen? If it was a cold night, that'd keep you warm. It's not a cold night. So hopefully your air conditioner works. Amen? And that truth will keep you comfortably cool. Amen? Let's bow and have a closing word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the truth of Your Word. We thank You for this doctrine, Lord, that we're trying to get another step into and another step further down the road with and try to get a better embracing knowledge of. And so, Lord, we're thankful as we ended it tonight talking about Your grace. How appropriate. How appropriate. In the midst of the great tribulation, it is Your grace that will sustain these saints. In the midst of Your tribulation, it is Your grace that will bring this great tribulation to an end. Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for all You do. Thank You for how You keep us. Thank You for how You sustain us. And so, Lord, when we have times of depression, when we have times of being down, when we have times when we feel like we're in the midst of the attack, Lord, let us think to this faith. Lord, the faith doesn't have to be big, but it has to be real. So, Lord, may we think to the real, genuine faith that's down in us. Not a faith in faith, but a faith in God. A faith in Jesus. A faith in the gospel. A faith that You have come into our lives, that You have brought our dead spirits to life for all eternity. And a faith that tells us that Your Bible is true when it says You will keep us, sustain us, and You will see us through to the very end of this physical life until we step out of this side of eternity and into the other side with You. Absent from the body is to be present with You. We praise You for that tonight. Lord, that may that be a comforting work in us as we go through this week. It's in Your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Those of you watching with us online, thank you for being here. You guys have a great evening. We'll see you back here Wednesday, and y'all take care. God bless you.